This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I do want to get to this Michigan-Nebraska game from last night coming up, but something occurred to me that you said something I'm still rattled by, Gator. You said it before the show.
Rattled.
I'm a little surprised, and you said it with such a high degree of certainty.
Now I know what you're talking about. Okay.
That I was like, okay, hold on, because we don't have a lot of crossover favorites when it comes to food items. But one thing that was established early together is our deep love of Girl Scout Thin Mints.
Yeah.
And you made a... Jimmy walked in today, our boss. He said something very uncomfortable, and then he corrected himself. The first thing he asked us was, do you guys like Girl Scouts? And we're like, easy. That was not us. And we're like... What? He's like, Girl Scout cookies. Anyway, all right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, we cleaned it up. Yes, we all love Girl Scout cookies. Yes.
And he said, the Adventure Falls are the best Girl Scout cookie there is. And then you said, I agree.
That was quick to agree.
Now, I feel like if you're going to make an announcement like that,
yeah,
you need to prepare the people around you. Hey, look. I've been thinking about something, and there's a change. Like, you don't just, that's like one of the tenant hallmark crossover things that is a basis of our relationship is the Girl Scout Thin Mints. You can eat an entire sleeve in 5 minutes, and they're so good that you can't possibly feel guilty about it.
Right.
And they're better when you store them where, Gator?
Well, you can put in the freezer or the refrigerator. It does the same thing.
Yes. And then you just haphazardly drop out of left field that you think the Adventurefuls are better than the Girl Scout Thin Mints.
I agree with Jimmy Powers on this. Yeah. I'd never heard of the Adventureful until this season of Girl Scout cookies. I was approached, I don't know how long, it's been 3 months now, maybe, since one of our friends approached us and said, hey, their daughter was going to be selling Girl Scout cookies. So I immediately, all right, fine, I'll buy some. And I regret that I only got one box of Adventurefuls because I'm looking at the different kinds online. I'm like, all right, well, obviously Thin Mints, yes. I'm a big Tagalong fan. Those are the chocolate peanut butter ones. Love those. It's like chocolate-covered peanut butter. And then I wasn't sure where else to go, you know, because I knew I was going to get two boxes of the Thin Mints. I knew I was going to get at least one box of the Tagalongs. And like, let's try something else. Ooh, Adventureful. This sounds interesting. It's like a brownie with some salted caramel on it, a little bit of a cookie crunch to it. I'll try it out. I'll get one of those. And when the boxes arrived, I was excited. Tore into the box of Girl Scout cookies and went for the Adventurefuls first and foremost because I'd never had them. And they come in a tray, much like the tagalongs do. So it's not the sleeve like you get with the Thin Mints, where it feels like you get so many more Thin Mints than you do the other cookies, probably because they're thin. So I grab one of these Adventurefuls, and I'm going to just take half a bite here, you know, half the cookie in one bite. Let's try it out. And I was stunned at how good it was. Then I threw the next one down, and the next one, and another, and another. And then DJ Khaled shows up, and he says another, and another, and another. And I had to stop myself, but I would say within a 24-hour period, that box was gone. The Adventurefuls are outstanding. Completely under my radar. I had no idea. We did some research this morning. Apparently, they were introduced in 2022. And, you know, why would I know about it? Because you have your favorites. You feel like you've already established this. I don't even look at many of the other ones.
Established.
I mean, most people would rank Thin Mints very high along with Samoas. And then you have a big gap of other cookies, and people have their own that they like, the little niche. But everybody, I think, would agree that Thin Mints and Samoas are probably the top of this pyramid. Until you have an Adventureful. And then you say, wait a minute, there's room at the top. There is absolutely room at the top. And if you've had an Adventureful, I'm going to guess that the vast majority of people would agree. Not everybody's going to agree. But I think the vast majority of people who have had Adventurefuls will say, at the very least, they belong in the discussion with the Samoa and the Thin Mint. Now, for me, if I have all three to choose from, I'm taking the Adventureful first.
Okay, so, I mean, maybe there's a couple things here. One is the callous way with which you casually dropped the our conviction was no longer held. Felt like straight betrayal. So that's one topic. But the other topic
is... You think
I
betrayed you? Because I feel like you did. I left the friendly comforts of the land that views Thin Mints as the best.
Yes. And but the secondly,
I didn't cast him aside.
Now I'm intrigued. Is he right?
Well, I mean, there is only one way to find out.
Well, I said to first of all, I'm a little irritated with Powers because you can't bring this up and say these things are the best, better than Thin Mints, and then not have any. Like, here, try it.
That is
you
a problem.
To, yeah, this is
we need
when
a
you
box
make a statement like it's better than a Thin Mint, and you do not have any for us to sample. What the hell is that?
I mean, it's early. It's only 11:08. But we need
telling him to go home and get some?
I'm saying we need a box of Adventurefuls and a box of Thin Mints and maybe even a box of Samoas to do the taste test properly. But you need an Adventureful stat.
I feel like I do. Do you, Kang? What did you make
Kang,
of this proclamation?
You haven't had the Adventureful either.
I have not.
Do you have a ranking of Girl Scout cookies?
I do not. Okay. I'm not one of those, I can't wait for the Girl Scout season. It's cookie season. Sorry, I did the Jimmy thing there. Make sure you say cookies.
Yes.
Girl Scout cookie season. No, I enjoy cookies. I just, you know, I'm not into it as much as everybody else is. But this, what you're describing here, Gator, this Adventureful, the hint of sea salt, this makes it seem more like an adult cookie.
Yeah.
I don't mind sea salt in certain things. I actually, like, you know, you and I watch a lot of Food Network.
Yeah, it enhances the flavor of other flavors.
It does. It really does. With that being said, I can't imagine the kids like this more than the other cookies.
I'm not about... Well,
I know you hate kids.
This is no surprise. I'm not about the children right now. It's about me being selfish and ranking my own Girl Scout cookies.
Yes.
So,
Doug, are you a sea salt guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
This might be for you then, man.
It might be for me. It can be a great, great cookie. Not sure it can surpass the Thin Mint.
I don't want you to feel like you have to cast aside the Thin Mint. Like if you have an Adventureful and you're like, this is a damn good cookie, that's fine. You know what else is? The Thin Mint. Yeah. I haven't cast aside the Thin Mint. I still got a box of Thin Mints in the refrigerator
but
right
now.
But
now, moving forward, if the budget has one, if you can get one box of Girl Scout cookies, what are you getting?
Adventureful.
He didn't even hesitate, Doug.
Betrayal.
There was zero hesitation.
See, but here's the thing. But I say that, and I also know with full confidence that it's never going to be one box. Okay? You're gonna go out. You nobody buys one box of Girl Scout cookies. You have to buy like five boxes of Girl Scout cookies.
And because they shame you into it?
Yes. And their parents will shame you
right
into it. Yeah.
248-539-9797. Bill in Ferndale, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Bill.
Hi, guys. Hey, I know I came in late to this, but what happened to the tag-along?
They're delicious.
I'm a big fat guy. Peanut butter and chocolate? That's just as good as it gets.
Look, it's up there, Bill. For me, I love the tag-along. But the Adventureful, once you have it, you're not going to throw out the tag-alongs ever. But what you will do is say, this Adventureful is a damn good cookie. And it might yeah, surpass it. Look, I'm a fat guy. I know what you're talking about.
I haven't had one, and I will get a box. But I'll put the tag-along up against anybody. And I do think the Samoa is second. But, you know, Thin Mints are, you know, that's yesterday's news. Same with, like, the trefoil. Oh. Those things, they're not even close.
Oh,
Bill.
See, there's a problem there.
You take it back, Bill. You take it back.
Yeah. I can't. Years and years of practice.
See, the thing, and I respect Bill. He's got his opinion, right? But the problem is, this is an objective thing.
I'm not treating him with respect.
We're trying to be objective. This is a very subjective thing. So I don't think peanut butter is necessarily a polarizing food. But I think that there is a large percentage, above perhaps 10% of people that don't like peanut butter. So if you don't like peanut butter, you're going to hate the tag-along, right? If you don't like mint, you're not likely to like the Thin Mint.
Bill didn't have the Thin Mint in the top two.
But chocolate and caramel are hard to pass on.
All right, next up, let's get to it. Michigan-Nebraska. Did anybody out there watch the whole game? The whole game, directly with your eyes. It's like looking into the arc, man. That was a tough one. They won the game, which is in a survive and advance world when you're battling for the Big Ten crown. That is the most important thing. I don't know if I've ever seen a game like that. We'll get to that at 11:20 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, warm up your winter with these hot deals from Sarah Chevy in Sterling Heights. This month, get a 2025 Chevy Trax LS for just $259 a month for 36 months with no money down. Pay only $259 a month with zero down, with approved credit, and a GM employee discount. Sarah Chevrolet in Sterling Heights is your number one volume Chevy dealer in Michigan. Hundreds of vehicles, including Trax, Blazer, EVs, on the ground to choose from. Stay warm and say Sarah. Call 87-SAY-SARAH. Go to saysarah.com. See dealer for details and get there fast. Offers end on March 3rd. Together, let's drive. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Feel like I don't even know you anymore.
I'm still the same guy.
I'm not sure.
If you ask me if
our relationship changed today.
If you ask me if I like Thin Mints, you know what I'm going to say? I love Thin Mints. They're delicious. They're awesome. Nothing's changed.
You're just making it worse. Stop talking.
Why does it make it? I haven't abandoned the Thin Mint. It's still awesome. I'm just saying there's, you know, someone new in town that's really good.
All right. So last night, Michigan-Nebraska. Now we'll start with this. The job's to win the game, and sometimes you have to win when you're not playing well. And if you're going to win, there's a couple things. I think it's true of both Michigan and Michigan State. They're both having incredibly impressive seasons. They are distinguishing themselves as the two best teams in the Big Ten. I don't know which way it's going to go. Sometimes I think Michigan's going to win the Big Ten. Other times I think Michigan State's going to win the Big Ten. Last night was not a work of art for Michigan. They beat Nebraska 49-46. And Dusty May is a really good coach, and this team is capable of great things. However, if you ever wondered what the worst game you've ever watched was, it was that one. Here's some of the things that I heard in the wake of that game. On the post-game show, I believe the studio host was Rob Joyce. He promised Terry Mills that we agree that we will talk about this and then we will never speak of it ever again. A listener sent me an email this morning that said that game should be taken out back and shot.
Oh. Wow.
It was unbelievable the turnovers, the missed shots.
I did not watch the game last night. I was watching the Pistons, and I kind of forgot that Michigan was playing. So I didn't know anything about the game, and then I'm watching the sports last night with Dan Miller, and eventually gets to college basketball, and here's the Michigan game, here are the highlights. And I'm not really paying attention. I just kind of have it on while I'm, you know, working on other stuff, looking at Twitter or whatever. And I look up and I see that Nebraska had a chance to tie it at the end and missed the three-point shot. So it was 49-46 Michigan wins. And then I went, oh, that's a low-scoring game. Didn't give it any thought. Then you start talking about how bad this game was. And I didn't look at the box score until we went to the commercial break. I cannot believe that anybody would have sat through that after looking at stats like these. So Michigan, in their last three halves of basketball, has scored 24, 25, and 24 points.
I want you to get this right. Careful with the way you present that. In the last three halves of basketball, they scored 24 in the second half against Michigan State.
Yes.
They exploded for 25 right. in the first half against Nebraska, and then went back to 24.
Michigan shot 29.5% from the field, knocking down only 5 of 27 three-point attempts. That's 18.5%. And hit just 8 of 13 free throws. That's 61.5%. You mentioned the turnovers. They had 14 turnovers. Nebraska said, hey, hold my beer or hold my ear of corn, and shot 25.8% from the field, knocked down 6 of 28 from three-point land for 21.4%, and made just 8 of 12 free throws. That's 67%, while turning the ball over 11 times. I don't know how you pronounce this guy's name. It doesn't really matter, but Burke B.
Oh, the guy that came back from injury.
The kid from Turkey for Nebraska. He went 0 for 10 in the game.
Do we have the last highlight of that game? Because Brian Bush had to say his name. I want you and I to give this name a try before we hear the play-by-play. Burke is his first name.
Bayou Tunsil?
I'm going to go with Bayou Tunsil. Bayou Tunsil, and you say Bayou Tunsil?
Yep.
Bayou Tunsil.
Bayou Tunsil.
All right. If we get the highlight, we'll play it for you.
Who was the guy that set Pack to Craw?
Sepak Takraw.
Nian Baktui or whatever his
name. Yeah. It's been a while since we talked about
Yeah, he changed his name to Hawk Tui.
No.
Back when I knew who you were. Anyway, look, they won the game, but I think he
I have
the most,
final call. Dude, yeah. The final shot.
Okay, so again, Bayou Tunsil. And you got
Bayou Tunsil.
All right.
No, I don't have it. I don't have it. I'm sorry.
Right, never mind.
Yeah. I mean, he was 0 for 10. Juwan Gary was 2 for 13. That's pathetic. And then you look at Michigan's side, and it's 1 for 7, 1 for 5, 1 for 7 for guys off the bench, and for Burnett. And then they're big guys, they're bigs. 8 for 20, not so bad from their bigs.
This was amazing. Michigan had a chance for like a kill shot exchange late in that game because Michigan made one field goal the last 5 minutes. But inside the last 5 minutes.
A kill shot. The game is 49-46.
Okay, but think about this. If you're up 4 points.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Feels like you're up 10, right?
Right.
And in the last few minutes of the game, Nebraska gets called for a hook and hold. So Michigan's up 4, shooting 2 free throws, and they get the ball. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Vlad Goldin then missed both free throws. They inbound the ball, and Namari Barnett promptly steps out of bounds, and Nebraska go down and makes a three-point basket. It went from being 8 potentially or 9 potentially down to 1 like that. It's crazy.
I didn't watch the game either, Gator, but I saw the score this morning when I sat down, and I said to Doug, is this real? Like, and Evan came in. And said, you know, he heard us talk about it and said, that game set basketball back forever. Dude. Like, I'm like, was this bad? And you started describing me certain things that happened in the game, Doug. Like, it was comical. It was
at one point, Michigan had a fast break. And I said out loud, even this is in doubt. And I think it was Burnett got caught up to in the shot, got blocked. And I thought, yeah, of course.
This is one of these games where if you ask people in the crowd what else went wrong, they're like, yeah, I went and got a pop and it was flat. The hot dog was cold. You know, the tortilla chips were stale.
Yeah.
Popcorn with a bunch of unpopped kernels and it was overdone. You know, just like everything would have been wrong.
Everything was wrong.
I broke up with my girlfriend. You know, I failed my math test. Sorry, that last one was just, failed my math test.
Brent and Macomb, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Brent.
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
What's up, Brent?
So I am one of the unfortunate people who stayed up and watched the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even really know where to start.
Let me ask you this. Were you drinking?
No, not at all.
Didn't even have a beer? Nothing?
Nope, not at all. But I stayed up, and I regret it because I've played basketball my entire life. I went to Michigan basketball camps. I'm a diehard fan. That is the worst game I've ever seen in my 42 years on this planet. Like, it was just...
Hey, Brent, they got it out of the system.
They won the game. I mean, I'll give them that.
They won the game.
And toward the end, I'm like, they're going to screw this up somehow. Because, you know, like you said, it went from 8-1. Wolf turns the ball over like I've never seen before.
You know what's funny is I was like, how many turnovers did he have? I think he only had 4. It felt like a lot more than that, didn't it?
He actually only had 3 turnovers. Yeah.
3 turnovers. He had 3 turnovers. It felt like more than that. Maybe they just all came like consecutively.
And then Nebraska only had 1 guy.
Dude.
We were letting 1 guy keep them in the game. Like, it was just wild.
He had like 21 at half and finished with 26 when many of them were given to them at the end of the game when Michigan was fouling him intentionally so they couldn't get a 3-point shot off.
I mean, when you have more than half your team's points, that doesn't happen. I mean, that's like a Zach Edey thing, right?
Yeah, they won the game. They won the
but
game.
Michigan beat them.
And get it out of the system.
Oof.
But that might be a game you look back at and you're like, boy, was that rock bottom or what? But they won the game.
When do they play again?
I think they got Rutgers Sunday. I think they've got a long break, which it looks like they need.
27th against Rutgers. Actually, it's not Sunday. They play the 27th? That's 2 days from now.
My bad. Do they play?
They also play Sunday against Illinois.
They got games packed in here.
Oh, and then they play the 5th against Maryland. That's a lot of games to play in a short period of time.
A lot of games. A
lot of games.
Survive in advance.
Well, they can't play worse.
No, they really can't.
And yet they won the game.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, it's going to be 50 today with some sunshine. Take your workout outdoors. This is show some weather. Get your Show Some Athletic Apparel performance hoodie or long sleeve workout shirt today. I say it every day. Treat each other with respect. And Show Some was founded on respect. Respect for your commitment. Respect for your competition. Respect for putting in the hard work like our hockey and basketball teams are doing right now. Show Some is a Michigan-based company. They offer the highest quality shirts, sports bras, leggings, shorts, and more. Use the discount code Doug at checkout. Go to showsome.com. That's showsum.com. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797. It was an ugly affair last night in Lincoln, Nebraska, but Michigan found a way to win a game, which is most important, but there's no denying that was not a work of art by any stretch of the imagination.
What kind of work was it?
It was a work of poop.
Oh.
Yeah, well, there you go. Nebraska versus Michigan was arguably the worst basketball game I've ever seen. It was seriously cringeworthy. That's from an unnamed texter. You know what, though? I mean, I will say this. I thought Coach Hoiberg and Dusty May, they did put together good defensive game plans. Like, they were the people that were shooting the ball for Michigan, like they were leaving the right guys open. They did a good job on that end. And Michigan did a good job on the other end. But even when they had open looks, it was clank city. Absolute clank city. Let's go to Jeff next.
That's an amazing silver lining to find with no clouds in the sky.
But you gotta play on that end of the floor, and I thought both teams did, but even open looks they weren't hitting. Jeff is next. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
So a friend of mine and I were talking this morning. He said, "Hey, did you watch the game last night?" And I said, "Yeah, I just caught the second half." And he said, "I turned it on. It was like 40-something. I thought, great, I could still watch the whole second half, realizing, shoot, there's like 2 minutes left.
Yeah. Yep. They played games where they were over 50 points in a half. And, yeah, that was unbelievably frustrating.
You mentioned that play at the end where the hook and hold, how big of a difference that could have been. And that just shows how the whole night went. It was just like, are you kidding me? You're going to do this now? You can put the game away, and you're going to let them come down and hit a three and be right back in it.
It was a four-point game with a hook and hold with like 3 minutes to go. You get two free throws in the ball. It felt like it was going to be an insurmountable lead. And then seconds later, Nebraska was down one.
They did a good job pushing Golden away from the basket, making him shoot a couple feet further away than he's normally used to. That's why he couldn't hit anything.
Appreciate the phone call, Jeff. Bob is in West Bloomfield and next. Hi, Bob.
Hi, guys. Let me preface this by saying I'm 80 years old. I've seen a lot of basketball, okay? So to make matters worse, I watched the Piston game and it taped the Michigan game.
Yep.
And I watched that after watching the Pistons. And I'd have to say that in 1891, James Naismith,
oh boy.
I wasn't there to see it, erected two peach baskets. And whatever that first game was a hell of a lot more exciting and worth watching than what I saw yesterday.
It was a struggle. It was a struggle.
It makes unwatchable a perfect description.
Thank you for the phone call.
Just waiting for a George Mikan reference.
Let's go to Jim. You're next. Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
Good.
So I'm a Michigan fan, and I'm the best avid basketball fan. And I have concerns about the team going forward because I think they're developing a pattern. You know, if you watch the last three or four games and how much they've been scoring, how many times do you see them forcing up the shot just before the shot clock? You know, and why is that? If you watch them, there's really no offensive flow to the game. You know, Wolf takes the air out of the ball. He dribbles a lot. And I don't see any movement, any backdoor movement, anything. If you look at last night, too, how many times did Vlad get the ball? You know, they were 8 for 20 shooting. But I'm concerned going forward because I don't see any offensive pattern here. And it's just too much standing around. And then it waits till the last minute, and they're forcing up shots.
Well, there's a couple things. One is, I mean, they're coming off an 86-point performance at Ohio State a week ago. So it's not, this is the last three halves. It's really what it is. And I feel like I say this every day now. When you're in a winning streak, it feels like you're never going to lose again. And when you're in a losing streak, it feels like you're never going to get right again. They did win the game to bring their losing streak to an end at one. In a game that is certainly against a very respectable opponent in Michigan State. Nebraska is still a tournament team, according to Lenardi today. But I will say the ball movement was lacking. My untrained eye showed a team that would pass the ball around earlier in the year, and they kept the ball moving, and they were getting good shots, to it feels like the ball stops. It's pass, stop, pass, stop, pass, dribble, dribble, stop. And instead of just, whipping the ball around the perimeter, fast ball movement to create open looks, that was not there last night in particular. I have to go back and watch and see if it's true of the Michigan State game as much, but I would agree with that it was the last, I wouldn't say last four or five games, because they did beat Purdue 3 games ago in a game where they scored 70-something 75-73. But it definitely has been the case the last three halves.
We got this ticket text from an unnamed ticket texter. He says, I'm in Nebraska for work right now. I decided to go to the game last night because I'd never been to a Michigan game in person. Needless to say, that sucked. What terrible luck.
Yeah.
Like, he never got to see Michigan play in person. He's on the road. He's like, you know, I can get ticket or a ticket, go to the game, finally see it, and that's the game he got served up.
It's funny. Total aside, Nebraska's got this neighborhood built up around their basketball arena that is absolutely awesome. Bars and restaurants, like old warehouses converted, and a lot going on. It's a really, really cool place to go to a game. So I hope that you had fun anyway.
Outside of the game?
Outside of the game, yeah.
It's like going to see your live band, Gator, for the first time that you've always loved their music. Then you show up and it was just, this is not what I signed up for. This is terrible music.
Here you go.
Was terrible when I saw him live.
Who was?
Rat.
Rat.
It
really?
Was terrible. Bon Jovi opened up for him.
Yeah.
And Bon Jovi was amazing. They sounded so good. It was before they were monster hits. The next tour they were headlining were amazing. Rat on the Invasion of Your Privacy tour was so disappointing. I never saw him again. They just didn't sound good. It looked like they didn't care. Like you guys.
Wait, hold on. Counting Crows didn't care or did?
I didn't
really
say it was
the
worst ever.
Okay.
We saw Counting Crows in Vegas 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And they were terrible.
Well, here's what's funny is I chose to go see them back in the 90s and thought, I've never seen a band look more disinterested. And Adam, whatever his name is, lead singer, looked like he was bored with their own work. And I'm like, well, that was a lifeless show. So then we were in Vegas for show purposes, and we had tickets to this show, which was, you know, it was a lot of 90s bands. One of them was Counting Crows. And I turned to you and I said, this was the most bored group I've ever seen with their own work.
Let's see how they are now.
And still bored.
They were just awful. But yes, Kang, I understand your analogy. I've seen bands I liked that were awful live and disappointing. And so was Doug.
Here you go. This is from an unnamed texter. That Michigan game is a reason a ton of people don't care about college basketball until March. The product is so bad. All right, this is short-term results, long-term conclusions. Is the college basketball product bad? Or was that game bad? Like, if you watch that game and said and concluded that the product is bad, there's plenty of good college basketball games. I watched all 40 minutes of that game last night. I can confidently say that is the worst basketball game I have ever seen. Not hyperbole. That is from an unnamed texter.
That may not be hyperbole, apparently.
I'm
so glad I didn't tune in.
It was a struggle. Won the game. Struggle. And the crazy thing is, you know, in 28 hours, they could be back in first place. Michigan State and Michigan tied atop the Big Ten. Spartans play at Maryland. And on Wednesday, Michigan hosts Rutgers on Thursday. So you're right. They don't have a, then they got a day off and then 2 days off, and then they host Illinois, an Illinois team that's reeling. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. We will talk some NFL coming up next hour, but straight ahead, do want to get into that Red Wing trade last night. And of course, they're in action tonight. That Red Wing trade could be setting the table for something big. And you know what? I bet it is. We'll get to that today at 11:46 here on Carson Anderson. Just a reminder, you can stream the show using the Audacy app. Download it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Then you can listen to this show and all the shows anywhere in the country by using the Audacy app. And you can stream through our website, 971theticket.com, where Evan has posted Champ and Chump of the Weekend. Go check it out. See who you people voted for. Additionally, you can stream with video. Go to twitch.tv, search up 971theticket, participate in the streaming chat. We read some of your comments on the air. Same thing with youtube.com. Again, search up 971theticket, and you can find our show streamed with video. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, we're 10 days away from the NHL trade deadline, and the Wings, in a war-chesting move, trade Ville Husso to the Anaheim Ducks, freeing up $3.6 million in salary cap space, and all for a dude who's played 9 games and spent much of the year in the minors. You combine that with the cap space that they have, which isn't a ton, but it brings them up to roughly the $5 million mark, and given that the trade deadline where it falls in the season, they can take on something north of $14 million in salary. I honestly can't believe that they moved on from, were able to get out from under Husso's contract.
Getting out from that contract is, even if it's just the rest of the year, it's big. It's big, and it frees up money they could use to go out and get a bigger fish. And when you start, you know, prorating contracts at the end of the season and you realize that the type of they freed up what essentially becomes like $13 million in cap space of annual, you know, salary cap space for players because it's prorated. It's whatever it is, $3 million and something in change there. They can basically get any player they want in trade. They can afford to do it. And worry about the ramifications after the season. But what it does is it opens up a wealth of possibilities of what this team can do.
I expect them to do something. they have been frustrated with war chesting in the past, and then the move they wanted to make didn't happen. I don't think Yzerman is going to have that happen this time around. I think he is war chested for a very specific reason. I almost wonder if a deal is in place. And thank you, Anaheim, for taking this money off our hands. I'm expecting a major move. I'm also expecting a major move because it's time to add some gas, right? They have justified they're a legitimate playoff team right now. They haven't clinched anything, but they've scratched and clawed and pulled their way up into the top wild card spot. It's time. And they've got coveted players in the minors. I mean, you talk about them all the time. Who's your favorite Red Wing minor leaguer?
It's probably Sebastian Cosa there's several. None of them are really doing anything great at Grand Rapids, but it's players overseas. Axel Sandin Pelikka, the defenseman for
Sweden.
What
could you get for him?
Probably a lot.
Yep.
Probably a lot, because he really showed up in the tournaments. I mean, he wasn't part of the Swedish team that just finished up in the Four Nations, but he is very highly regarded throughout the league. And they got a couple players over there. And they've got a Russian player that people really like. Trey Augustine and Sebastian Cosa, the goaltenders. Everybody likes both of the goaltenders there. They've got plenty. And they just dealt a goaltender. And I wonder, does that mean anything else? Like, hey, writing's on the wall for Alex Lyon. Let's go. You got to start playing better hockey. Because if you don't, now we've cleared away some space. We can send you down and bring somebody up.
I'm really anticipating fireworks at this trade deadline. And it's not car house, shoot the boo guarantee, but it's also not a hunch. Okay. Your hunch is when you're just kind of, I got a feeling. I think that there's a chance here that connecting some dots, some rumblings, I think the big move is coming. Now,
how big is the move going to be, and at what position will it be?
Well, that's the question. I don't know, but I think it's going to be pretty sizable. The Red Wings did get some bad news. At this hour, it is being reported that Andrew Kopp underwent successful surgery today to repair his left torn pectoral tendon. He will miss the remainder of the season.
That sucks. So he got hurt in a scrum, right, behind the boards? Along the boards.
Called
behind
the stands?
Behind the net. Looked like he was helping out one of his teammates, and unfortunately, you could see right away that something happened to his left arm area. You know, he kind of pulled down, went down, and just kind of went limp there. And sadly, it's a left pec injury, so he's out for the year. So again, this gives more urgency to get something done. This is a regular player. This is a top three line player. What do you do? You know, the player that we called is nothing special.
Dries.
Yeah. Had 19 goals at Grand Rapids, but well below point a game type of guy. He's been a journeyman of sorts, undersized, 5'9", 175-ish. So I don't think that's the long-term solution. But making this move to move Husso, it does create some interesting things that could happen down the road. And I'm with you. I think something big is going to happen. I don't know how big, though. You know, because they could use some help on defense, but does that come simply from promoting somebody who's just a stay-at-home defenseman and makes your overall defense better? Or do they want to go with something bigger and better than that? And forward-wise, now that you've lost Kopp, you know, how big do you want to go at the forward?
So ESPN put out something today that I think is pretty interesting. They project the points totals for each team from Stathletes. I don't know what that is, but ESPN's using it as a metric to project.
Is it different than Mathlete?
It's a Stathlete. Stathlete, or however you want to pronounce it. So they project point totals for every team, and they come up with the playoff matchups. Are you ready to hear this?
Yes.
All right, so your first playoff matchup is the winner of the Metropolitan, the Washington Capitals, facing Wild Card 2 Ottawa. In the 1 versus Wild Card 2 matchup, Metropolitan 2, Carolina faces Metropolitan 3, New Jersey. The Atlantic number 2, Tampa Bay, takes on Atlantic number 3, Florida. And the Atlantic first place team, The Toronto Maple Leafs play host to Wild Card One, Detroit.
Interesting. Interesting on a couple of notes. So they have Tampa being number two. Currently, Tampa is 3 points behind Florida. Mm-hmm. However, Tampa does have two games in hand on Florida. So you could see that happening. Tampa has 68 points on the season. The Red Wings have 64 with a chance to make it 66 tonight. Things are tightening up.
Yep.
It's not just the wild card spot. It's for that third spot in the division. Would you rather face Toronto? Or would you want to be in that matchup against Florida or Tampa Bay?
I'd love to face Toronto for the theater.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah. I also want to see who they add to the lineup. I'm so convinced they're doing something. This is a motivated team. This is a GM who's war-chested in the past and hasn't been able to make the move he's wanted to make. I'm going to go ahead and assume he already has the framework for some trades in mind. And I wouldn't be shocked here I wouldn't be shocked if it happened sooner rather than later with the news today that Kopp is out.
So one of the names that has been bandied about over weeks, lots of rumors about this player, would be Buffalo's Dylan Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Center, young guy.
30 goal scorer earlier in his career.
Yep. He's only got 27 points in 55 games this year. That's 11 goals. He is a team worst minus 16 in terms of plus minus on a team that has a lot of guys actually that are, you know, a plus and hovering around even strength, but he's been minus 16. Fallen out of favor there. Is that a big enough improvement to this team? Because the way Dylan Cousins has been playing this year, okay, fair enough. That's just like subbing out him for Kopp, the way he's been. But he's got potential to be better because he's shown it, and he's still young. But are you thinking something bigger than that?
I'm thinking something. I think that has potential to be pretty big.
It's a guy just turned 24, Dylan Cousins.
Yeah, it feels like a change of scenery. He might be one of those classic change of scenery guys. But I mean, they could take on his salary and then some, right? Because he's not an expensive player at this point.
I forget if he had been just signed to a multi-year deal with like $7 a year.
But let me give it, because then they could afford roughly two moves like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
Well, Buffalo's a mess. Dylan Cousins, yes, $7 million over the next one, too. Yes, he did sign an extension. You are correct. But he's only 23. They would have him through the 2030 season. So this could be, he would be a prime example of a player. They didn't need to move on. I'd have to go back and look. They might have needed to move on to be able to afford him, but they can afford him and then some. So that might be a guy to keep an eye on. Anyway, Red Wing fans, 248-539-9797. You want to continue the conversation. Red Wings make a move yesterday that it's feels insignificant, but it's clearly a war-chesting move 10 days from the trade deadline. From an unnamed texter, at this point, I don't expect and I don't have faith in Steve to make a big move. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't expect anything from him. I do expect something big from him. I've given you the reasons why. Mike says it's time to trade for Brady Tkachuk, get him out of Canada. Yeah, right. Doug, you said the same thing last year when they cleared money for Morgan Wallman, Joel in a truck, for
Jake Wallman.
He wrote Morgan Wallman. Do you think he meant Morgan Wallen, the country singer?
Yes.
They did. And you know what? They had other things in mind. It fell through. They had other things in mind in the offseason. It fell through. They have war chested for big names, Joel. They fell through. Yzerman isn't going to have, it's not going to happen to him again. He is, he's been down this road too many times. I don't even think he makes the Husso move unless he's already got the framework of a deal in place. When he made the Husso move, did he know the cop's diagnosis was grim?
Could have.
Yep. Again, I'm expecting it to happen rather quickly.
Sounds like you're, kind of like shooting the boot on this.
So I said I'm not doing that. Oh, I've already come out and said I'm not going to do that, but it's more than a hunch.
Okay, just try to jump all over it. I mean, that's what it sounds like. Yeah,
I don't want to say anything.
I don't want to put your shoe in your mouth, but, you know, it sounded like. No, but I'm with you. It feels like this is we got something brewing here with this team. When you make a move like what they just did with Huso, which is clearly freeing up money. You know, you could say, yeah, well, they're freeing it up for the end of the season. I don't think that's the case. We got 9 days to the trade deadline. This is a good hockey team with a starving fan base that wants to get there. And if Yzerman's going to make a move, I can't see it being a rental player they get, because that's not how he works.
On top of that, I think Luke Combs is more of a Yzerman type player than
Morgan Wallen.
Hey, all female fans, today is your day at Twin Peaks. Tuesdays are ladies' nights at Twin Peaks. Ladies' days. Grab your friends and take them every Tuesday to Twin Peaks. $4 Happy Dads, Twisted Teas, Mimosas, House Long Islands, Margaritas, and Sangrias. $5 Lemon.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.